A sleep-deprived Rob Rufschneider played a hero for the Red Sox with a walk-off single in the ninth inning to give the Red Sox a thrilling 9-8 win over the Texas Rangers on Thursday.
You are Locked On Red Sox, your daily Boston Red Sox podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Happy Friday, and thank you for making Locked On Red Sox your first listen of every single day. I am your host, Nesson's Lauren Willand, and we're going to talk about Thursday's win, obviously, because it was an exciting win. I think it was, any win at this point for the Red Sox is much needed, even though it probably doesn't mean too much, but the Red Sox are very successful against AL West teams. That continued Thursday. We saw a lot of fight from the Red Sox during a time that Rich Hill didn't pitch his best. You never saw them give up. They scored the 6 runs in the last 2 innings of the game. They completed the comeback. They were resilient. It was a fun game to watch, no doubt. So the Red Sox did win 9-8 against the Rangers in walk-off fashion in the ninth inning. And if you were feeling a little, not very optimistic going into the ninth with the Red Sox down 8-5, you are not alone, because I was not feeling very optimistic either. But Thursday served as the latest effort of resilience from the Red Sox, and especially with their offense. The Red Sox battled back from a 3-run deficit in the ninth. That's tied for their largest deficit in a comeback victory this season. And with 3 outs left to work with in that ninth inning against Jonathan Hernandez, the Red Sox drew 2 walks. They totaled 4 base hits, and Hernandez only managed to record 1 out. So they were attacking Hernandez all night. They were just getting to him. They were taking advantage of him. And this is what we've wanted to see all season from the Red Sox: attack the closer, attack the pitcher, make your moves with runners in scoring position. Be patient. We have preached patience this year here on Locked On Red Sox. And like I mentioned, they battled back. They were down 3 runs, and the offense came through with a very, very gritty showing. Like I said, they attacked Hernandez through his entire relief appearances. And it was Rob Rufschneider, the hero of the game, Rob Rufschneider, very sleepy Rob Rufschneider, aren't we all, especially on a Thursday or Friday as it's getting toward the end of the week. He delivered a walk-off single. He drove in the winning run. He was bombarded on the Fenway Park field. He got his water shower at the end of the game. And I love, after the game, he was talking to reporters and he said that he was incredibly sleep deprived, that the Red Sox got in Thursday morning from Minnesota about 5:30 in the morning. And he said his kid was a little cranky. His kid wasn't sleeping. And he always has an afternoon nap as part of his routine. Who doesn't love a good afternoon nap? And he wasn't able to take it because of his kid, and he wasn't able to do part of his routine. And he said while he was in the dugout that he was kind of quote unquote doing the math by the time that he's like, oh, I could win this thing for the Red Sox. And he was going through all the other times that he could have delivered but did not deliver. But that changed Thursday. Maybe he shouldn't get enough sleep more regularly. But no, that's probably not good for him. But it was really, really good to see Rufschneider come through. He's been really good for the Red Sox at times. He's done his job here, and it was just another showing of strong resiliency from this Red Sox offense. Resiliency that we know has been there all season. It just has not connected the way it should have in May, in April, in June. Well, June was fine. June was a really good month for the Red Sox, but July, August, this entire season, we have talked about the offense and talked about how on paper, this shouldn't be happening with the players they have. The Red Sox had such a strong offense coming into the 2022 season that we were like, okay, maybe the pitching can do enough where the offense can make sure that the Red Sox win games. And the offense just was not doing its job. Yes, there's injuries. There's still injuries. But you had a healthy offense. And yes, Xander Bogaerts was dealing with an injury or is dealing with an injury since May. But the offense this season has just not been performing up to expectations. And then they have a game against a team they should beat. They're down 3 in the 9th inning. Fans are probably feeling a little defeated and just kind of like, whatever, it's September. Just get me through the rest of this month and the little games that are left in October and call it a season. Like I said, while this win won't do much in the AL East standings and won't do much for the Red Sox for their postseason hopes at all, but it was just good to see and a good reminder that there is a good offense here, that there is a team willing to fight and a team willing to just do whatever it takes to win. We have not seen desperate baseball these last two games from the Red Sox. It's been a breath of fresh air, too little, too late, but it's just been really refreshing to see that the Red Sox are capable of coming from behind, are capable of playing patient baseball, and are capable of winning games when they're down. You never felt like the Red Sox were really out of this game. And I know I said I wasn't optimistic going into the ninth, but they were just showing fight throughout the game that we hadn't seen a lot all season. So that was very good to see. I was happy to see the end result, of course. And I was happy for Rob Refschneider. I mean, like, he's just been a nice, welcome addition to this team, and he's just done his job well. And someone else who's done their job well is Alex Verdugo. He has been a pivotal part of this lineup. On Thursday, he went 3-for-4, hit his 8th home run of the season, and he also scored 3 runs. He extended his hitting streak to 8 games, and during that span, he's batting .389. That's 14-for-36. He has 6 extra base hits during that stretch. He's just been somebody who's really, really played very good baseball all season. And he's been the voice of reason at times, especially when Jaron Duran was yapping at those Royals fans. He was getting in between the Duran and the fans and saying, hey man, it's not worth it. And he's had his own incidents with Yankees fans when Yankees fans were throwing stuff at Verdugo. So to see how Verdugo has just really adapted to the Red Sox in the city of Boston, and there's always going to be that hype around him or those eyes on him because he was the centerpiece of the Mookie Betts trade. So to see him really pan out well these last, especially this season, is definitely reassuring, and it's providing a lot of optimism for next year. I've had a lot of fun watching him. He's a big personality. He brings a lot of spark to this Red Sox team. And he has a lot of good energy. I feel like the Red Sox really kind of just feed off of him. And he's just been very good for this Red Sox team and a very pivotal part of this lineup. And during a season when the offense just isn't what it should be and he's doing what he's doing, it's nice. It's nice to see. And after the game, Alex Cora said that this is the kind of effort that is to be expected from the Red Sox. He said, when we actually got hits, we were using the whole field. The line was moving, quality at bats. Then Doogie changed the complexion of the game when he hit a homer. They bring the reliever, then Matt Moore. We did a good job. The last inning was what we expected out of the lineup. Swing at strikes. If not, keep the line moving. And then we put some good swings. Kike the other way, Raffy the other way. A good win. A very good win. A very good win. Because we have harped on the Red Sox not using the entire field, not taking advantage of just putting the ball in play. Alex Cora has made his stress known that his team, they're not swinging at strikes. They're swinging all over the place. They're swinging at balls way off the plate, way outside the strike zone. They're not using the field to their advantage. And that's exactly what they did Thursday. So it was just a very all-around good win. And it came on a time when Rich Hill did not give his best performance. Now, this was his first outing since the 11 strikeout game where he was working really quick. He was so dominant in his last outing. And this was not his best on Thursday. He gave up 4 earned runs over 4 innings, 5 hits, 2 walks, 2 strikeouts. And after the game, he was like, I pitched like crap. So he was very excited that his team was able to kind of rally. And even though Rich Hill did not get the win and did not contribute the way he wanted to, his team still was able to battle back. Zach Kelly and Edward Bazzardo gave up 2 runs each. Not what you really like to see, but also at this point, you have to see what you have in these guys. Zach Kelly is or will be going on paternity leave soon. He did say last week that his child is a week away from being born. Him and his wife are expecting their first child. So hopefully everything goes well for that. And with Zach Kelly and Eric Hosmer eventually going on paternity leave, this is going to potentially open up spots for people to be recalled from Worcester. Tristan Casas. You know, we saw Connor Wong and Bizzardo get those initial September call-ups. We will talk about that in the second segment of Locked On Red Sox. Also going to provide some not so good news regarding the injury updates on some key players here with the Red Sox. I will bring you all of those updates as soon as I tell you why you should drive sober. Because are you one of those people who thinks it's okay to just drive stoned? What's the worst that can happen? You end up driving below the speed limit. It's no big deal, right? Wrong. The truth is your reaction time slows way down when you're high. You not only put yourself in danger, but everyone else around you. Talk about a buzzkill. Stop kidding yourself. It's not okay to drive high. If you've been using marijuana in any form, do not get behind the wheel. If you feel different, you drive different. Drive high or get a DUI. So the Red Sox, as they have all season, have been dealing with a slew of injuries. And there's three in particular now who are on the IL that we're hopeful to return very soon. That's Eric Hosmer, that's Nate Eovaldi, and that's Tanner Houck. We did not get good news on any of those guys on Thursday. Just very discouraging news all around. It was really unfortunate to hear. We will start with Tanner Houck. Alex Cora told reporters that the team is shutting him down and that there is a good chance that he'll miss the rest of the season. That's really unfortunate to hear because he did really seem to find a groove as a reliever. He was dominant for a while there as the Red Sox closer. He was initially placed on the IL August 9th. He had lower back inflammation. He seemed to be trending toward a comeback just 2 weeks ago. And they had there was optimistic updates around his recovery. Everything seemed to be coming up Tanner Houck, but now everything seems to be going down Tanner Houck. It's just no bueno. Houck began the season as a starter. Then he was converted to Boston's closer due to the bullpen woes, which we have stressed oftentimes on here on Locked On Red Sox. And he proved to be a successful closer during that time. He had 8 saves and 9 chances. All around, he was 5-4 with a 3.15 ERA. So this is unfortunate because he does provide some depth and some reliability in that bullpen. I guess at this point, when they're so far out of a postseason race, you're just like, well, whatever, just shut him down, get him fully healthy for next year, define a role for him, a carved out defined role. And hopefully he can just kind of continue to pick up where he left off and be a reliable setup guy, a closer. Although I think Garrett Whitlock should be your closer next year, but you can be that reliable guy out of the bullpen that the Red Sox barely had this year. And then there's Nate Eovaldi, who's also dealing with inflammation, but he has it in his shoulder. He's been on the IL since August 23rd, and he's progressing slower than expected. That's obviously not good news. He threw a couple days ago, so we thought, hey, he's on the right track. Maybe we'll see him again before the end of the season. It sounds like his return will be delayed because of the inflammation. And this is very unfortunate for Eovaldi. He is in a contract year. He will be a free agent at the end of this year. The Red Sox have had no contract talk extensions with him. So I just judging from that, I know the Red Sox have other priorities this offseason. But to end the season or to be this close to the end of the season and not really have a return date and to have a setback this late in the season when you're fighting for a contract, whether that's with Boston or another team, it's unfortunate. And I'm sorry to see that Eovaldi is not progressing as well and as quickly as he and the team would like, because who knows if a team will want to give him a bigger contract, take a chance on him, and hopefully he lands on his feet. I like Eovaldi. Obviously, we'll never forget what he did for the Red Sox in 2018 in the World Series and basically throwing his arm off. But not good news there. Not good news on Eric Hosmer either, who's been great at first base for the Red Sox, provided that immediate defensive upgrade when he was traded from the Padres. He's been dealing with back inflammation, and he has been shut down due to lingering back pain. This is just how the Red Sox season is going. You get excited about something and someone gets injured. They're progressing well and then they're not. And then they get shut down. This is the Red Sox season in a nutshell. So the setback is very unfortunate for Hosmer. He's made a good first impression in a Red Sox uniform. He's been great at first base. He's played in just 12 games. He's batting .225. He has 4 RBI during that stretch, but he's made plays at first base where it's got Twitter talking like, Franchi wouldn't have made that play. No way Bobby Dalbec makes that play. So that's unfortunate to him, but with Eovaldi and Hosmer staying on the shelf, it could present some opportunities for Red Sox prospects to come back to the team or make their debut with the team? You think maybe Frank Herman has a chance? Tristan Casas obviously is that big name that everyone is just waiting for. And Casas, I think eventually, I mean, Cora hinted that we'll see him in September, but now with Hosmer being shut down for a little while longer, unclear when he will return, I think that Tristan Casas, that kind of leaves the door open for him to return or to make his debut with the Red Sox sooner rather than later. He's not very good against left-handed, and I think that's when Alex Cora said he has stuff to work on. That's what he was alluding to. But I think at this point, I want to be patient with him. I've preached that. I've preached patience with Casas, and I'm ready to see him. But I think at this point, why not? At this point in the season, you don't know when Hosmer's coming back. He's also going to be going on paternity leave at some point. So the door is wide open now for Casas to make his debut. I still want to preach the patience with him as much as I want to see him. But it's also just like, at this point, what is there left to lose by bringing him up at this point in the season? So we will see. We're obviously on Casas watch like all of you, and we will give you updates as they come out and as we hear them. And maybe after the weekend, we'll be able to talk about Casas in a positive light, whether that's him being called up, rumors of him being called up. So only time will tell. We have one more segment here on the Locked On Red Sox podcast. As we always do, we'll end the show on the Mental Health Minute. So I mentioned a few episodes ago that I'm reading a new book. It's called Embrace Your Almost, and I hadn't started it the last time I talked about it, and I'm about halfway through now. And one part of the book really stuck out to me. It's really about, you know, embracing your failures and not so much seeing them as a failure. So the author went through this big thing, and it financially set her and her husband back after it quote unquote failed. And she decided to start taking up gardening because she needed to just kind of occupy her mind and not think about her almost and almost getting to her goal and just missing reaching her goal. So she started taking up gardening and it didn't really go her way. However, she did say she got 3 kale leaves from her whole plot of kale that she planted. And even though it was disappointing, 3 singular leaves for her kale growth, she still saw this as an opportunity to be like, okay, I can do this. I can clearly garden. I just have to work out some tweaks here. And she found out that she planted too late and she continued to work at it the next season and made sure that she planted early enough and took more precautions about caring for her plants. And I just thought that really stuck with me because we see oftentimes we try to do something or we try to complete something. We get halfway through, a quarter way through, and we're like, we can't do this. It's too hard. It's not meant for me. But when you see those 3 kale leaves, you need to take that as a victory and be like, okay, I really can do this. It's just a matter of working out the tweaks, figuring out what I have to change, and not give up on something that I can clearly do. So this book has really resonated with me lately, and I'm really glad I just kind of stumbled upon it. I highly recommend it, even though I'm not done yet, but I highly recommend this book if you're struggling with something, even if you're not struggling. But it's just a really positive way to see something where when it's hard to see the positives in life, when you only have 3 kale leaves, but you can see that as I can do this and I'm going to make it better next time around and I'm going to perfect it and I'm going to reach this goal. And even though it's not the goal I originally had in mind, it's going to work in my favor because I'm going to have the mindset now going forward that I can do something. And just because I failed at it doesn't mean it's going to be forever. I'm going to figure out how to do it and do it right and do it well. Thank you for making Locked On Red Sox your first listen of every single day. Rate, review, and subscribe to Locked On Red Sox right here on YouTube, Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast is where you can find us. Find us on Twitter at @LO_RedSox, Jake at Jake Iggy. He will be back after this weekend. And then you can find me on Twitter at LaLaLaLauren, 3 laws, Lauren with 4 R's. Find all of my written work right on Nesson.com. Be sure to check out all the other shows across the Locked On Network. Locked On Rangers, host Bryce Patrick, probably not happy about Thursday's win. Locked On Yankees, Locked On Astros. Everyone does such an incredible job here, bringing you baseball content Monday through Friday. And now that you've made Locked On Red Sox your first listen today, head on over to the Ultimate Pro Football Preview 2022 to make it listen number two. This is an 8-episode extravaganza. It gets you ready for the NFL season less than a week away till week one. The local team experts of Locked On Podcast Network, plus a betting angle from Lee Sterling of Locked On Bets, they all combine into one Ultimate NFL Preview. Search for Ultimate Pro Football Preview 2022 on your Odyssey app, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts. We will be back Monday. Hopefully, we'll be recapping a successful series against the Rangers. Have a wonderful weekend. If you have a long weekend, enjoy it, embrace it, have fun, be safe. We'll see you Monday. And as always, let's go Red Sox.